October 3rd, 1905. This same Jesus shall so come. Ellen G. White. The time came for Christ to ascend to his Father's throne. As a divine conqueror, he was about to return with the trophies of victory to the heavenly courts. As the place of his ascension, he chose the spot so often hallowed by his presence while he dwelt among men. On reaching the Mount of Olives, Jesus led the way across the summit to the vicinity of Bethany. Here he paused, and the disciples gathered about him. Then, with hands outstretched in blessing, he slowly ascended from among them. And as the cloudy chariot of angels received him out of their sight, the words came down to them. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. It is this same Jesus that is coming again, the one who, when he was on earth, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The voice of the mighty healer penetrated the deaf ear. A word, a touch of his hand, opened blind eyes. He rebuked disease and banished fever. His voice reached the ears of the dying, and they arose in health and vigor. In whole villages there was not a moan of sickness in any house, for he had passed through them and healed all their sick. And while he healed their diseases, he taught the people the way of life. Jesus made a tour into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, where he healed the demoniac daughter of the woman of Canaan. And he departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. The multitude flocked to him, bringing their sick and lame, and laying them at his feet. He healed them all, and the people, heathen as they were, glorified the God of Israel. For 3 days they continued to throng about the Savior, sleeping at night in the open air, and through the day pressing eagerly to hear the words of Christ and to see his works. At the end of 3 days their food was spent. Jesus would not send them away hungry, and he called upon his disciples to give them food. Jewish prejudice was still strong in the hearts of the disciples, and they answered Jesus, "Whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" But obedient to his word, they brought him what they had, 7 loaves and 2 fishes. The multitude were fed, 7 large baskets of fragments remaining. 4,000 men, besides women and children, were thus refreshed. And Jesus sent them away with glad and grateful hearts. This same Jesus, compassionate, tender, is coming again. On the Mount of Olives, he told his disciples the signs that will precede his coming. But the day and the hour of his coming he has not revealed. The exact time of the second coming of the Son of Man is God's mystery. The whole world is full of rioting, full of godless pleasure, is asleep, asleep in carnal security. Men are putting far off the coming of the Lord. They laugh at warnings. The proud boast is made, "All things continue as they were from the beginning. Tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant." We will go deeper into pleasure loving. But Christ says, "Behold, I come as a thief." At the very time when the world is asking in scorn, "Where is the promise of his coming?" the signs are fulfilling. While they cry, "Peace and safety," sudden destruction is coming. When the scorner, the rejecter of truth, has become presumptuous, when the routine of work in the various money-making lines is carried on without regard to principle, when the student is eagerly seeking knowledge of everything but his Bible, Christ comes as a thief. The crisis is stealing gradually upon us. The sun shines in the heavens, passing over its usual round, and the heavens still declare the glory of God. Men are still eating and drinking, planting and building, marrying and giving in marriage. Merchants are still buying and selling. Men are jostling one against another, contending for the highest place. Pleasure lovers are still crowding to theaters, horse races, gambling hells. The highest excitement prevails, yet probation's hour is fast closing, and every case is about to be eternally decided. Satan sees that his time is short. He has set all his agencies at work that men may be deceived, deluded, occupied, and entranced until the day of probation shall be ended and the door of mercy forever shut.
Christ is coming with clouds and great glory. A multitude of shining angels will attend him. He will come to raise the dead and to change the living saints from glory to glory. He will come to honor those who have loved him and kept his commandments, and to take them to himself. He has not forgotten them, nor his promise. There will be a relinking of the family chain. When we look upon our dead, we may think of the morning when the trump of God shall sound, when the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. A little longer, and we shall see the King in his beauty, and he will present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Wherefore, when he gave the signs of his coming, he said, "When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh."